Fellow redeemed in Christ, I like to start my sermons with an illustration because they sort of help us to remember what I talked about. And tonight I'm going to begin with an illustration that I think our congregation is pretty good at. I'm going to talk about food. We seem to like our food here at Our Savior Lutheran Church. I'd like you to imagine for a moment that we were getting ready to have a Thanksgiving feast together here at the church. You can imagine that we would set up tables, and as is our custom, pretty soon those tables would be filled with food. There would be those big juicy turkeys, that's our custom, full of stuffing, and mashed potatoes and cranberries and gravy and all kinds of vegetables and goodies. And then there would be that other table, and you know what I'm talking about, the dessert table, and it would be full of pies. There would be a cherry pie there, and an apple pie, and a pumpkin pie, and maybe even a pecan pie. But we'd probably still be missing one pie that I think is crucial for the celebration of Thanksgiving, and that is humble pie. And you might be thinking it's kind of weird to talk about eating humble pie for Thanksgiving. After all, Thanksgiving is a time of celebration, and it's a time to enjoy a day off work, a time to rejoice in this beautiful country of ours. And Thanksgiving can be all those things. And yet, sometimes in the midst of getting the family together and celebrating this national holiday of Thanksgiving, we often don't get a chance to reflect much. We don't get a chance to take the time to humbly reflect upon our unworthiness. And we don't take time to reflect on God's kindness as much as we ought, and we often don't reflect on His faithfulness. So tonight we have before us the words of the patriarch Jacob, and we're going to take this opportunity to humbly reflect on these things, on our unworthiness, on God's kindness, and God's faithfulness. Jacob begins with words like this: "I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant." So why does Jacob feel so unworthy? To answer that question, you have to back up a little bit in the Bible and look at the life that Jacob had led. And it was a bit lacking. He hadn't exactly paid much attention to the voice of the Lord in the years prior to this. You might say that he'd been caught up in lies and deceit. He had tricked his brother Esau out of Esau's share of the inheritance. And when Esau realized what Jacob had done, he wanted to kill Jacob. That very night, Jacob had to flee for his life, and he had to cross the Jordan River with only the clothes on his back, no family, nothing with him but a staff, because Jacob had disobeyed God's commands, because he had put his desires before God's desires, he found himself in a very difficult situation. Here he was alone in a foreign country without a job, no family. Jacob's selfishness had gotten him into a lot of trouble. How many times isn't that the case for us in our lives? We often want to do things our way, and we often end up twisting the truth around to suit our own needs and tricking other people and manipulating people and our parents or our children or our spouse. We have to admit, like Isaiah did, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We're just as guilty as Jacob. If you stop and think about what we've done and how we've lived our lives up to this point, you can probably pick out times in your own life where you've had to cross the Jordan, running away from trouble that you made for yourself by sinning. And yet, can you believe this? Can you believe that in spite of our guilt, in spite of how obvious it is to God who sees all things, He still comes and offers His love and forgiveness to us over and over again? God has taken our acts of selfishness and cheating and lying and deceit. He's nailed all that to a cross. And because of Jesus, He's washed away our sins and put us back onto a righteous path. God the Father once again looks at us with favor because Jesus did all this for us. And God is more than willing to shower us with His kindness. And so we want to take a moment tonight to reflect on His kindness toward us. When Jacob tried to flee the wrath of his brother Esau, he fled across the Jordan into that foreign land, and he eventually found the house of an uncle whom he didn't know, his uncle Laban. And there he had to work for this man. And he took a liking to Laban's youngest daughter, Rachel, and he wanted to marry her. And Laban said, "Work 7 years for me," and he did that. But then Laban tricked him into marrying Laban's older daughter, Leah. And Jacob worked another 7 years because he wanted to marry Rachel. And he worked many years for his flocks to earn flocks of sheep and goats, which were the equivalent of pay in those days. And during that period of time, all in that time, Laban tricked him, cheated him, cut his wages, stole his sheep, lied to his face. And yet through all of it, Jacob did not complain, but he continued to work faithfully for this deceitful uncle of his. He used his talents to serve to the best of his ability. And the Lord blessed his efforts. By the time Jacob left Laban's house, he had flocks that were almost too numerous to count. He had 12 sons and dozens of servants. And by any measure of the day, he was a very wealthy man. If we had lived during the time of Jacob and if we had met him, we would probably think of him as a sharp businessman, an efficient businessman who earned every penny he owned, worked hard for it. And in the eyes of the world, we would be right. But in the eyes of Jacob and the eyes of God, we would be lacking in our understanding. Jacob saw that everything he owned was a gift from God. He hadn't earned one penny of his wealth, not one stitch of clothing, not even an ounce of talent. He saw them all as undeserved gifts from God. Can the same be said of us? Do we see our possessions in the same way? God has certainly showered a ton of blessings upon us as a congregation and as individuals. We have so many things. There are many here who are blessed financially. The world will say, "You earned it." What do you say? Maybe you've been blessed with a good education. Maybe you've been blessed with many children. Maybe you've been blessed with a wonderful family and you raised them by the sweat of your brow. What about the clothes on your back? Certainly, we should be able to take a little credit, right, for saving up for ourselves just to buy some decent clothes, right? The temptation, dear Christians, to try to sneak away with a little bit of that credit for the good things in our life is very strong. There's a real temptation to say, "I earned it. I deserve it." And that's where the wheels come off the wagon when we say, "I deserve it." Job once said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised." And I think that's what Jacob had in mind. When we humbly consider that we don't deserve a thing from God, when we start at ground zero as a naked, sinful baby, and then we start to consider all that God has given us, then we start to see just how the blessings that He showered upon us have really stacked up. Just think about what tomorrow is going to be like for most of you. Such a variety of foods, friendship, your family. Just think about the comforts of your home, the health that most of us enjoy, the peace in our souls. By then we're going to realize that our flocks are as numerous as Jacob's. And then we can humbly confess with him, Lord, we are unworthy of your kindness. So when we humbly reflect on God's past kindnesses to us, that leads us to be sincere in our thanks to Him for all that He's done for us. But what about the future? I know for many of you, there are probably some dark clouds looming on the horizon, and you wonder what's going to happen in the future. And there are those pressing questions of life. What will happen to me when I get old? Some problems desperately need to be resolved. Is there anything that we can do about an uncertain future like that? And to that I say, yes. Yes, there is. Just as Jacob said, he was facing a real trouble looming on the horizon. He was about to cross the Jordan again and see his brother for the first time since they had parted ways in anger. He's on his way back. And he knows that Esau wanted to kill him, or at least wring his neck, figuratively. Jacob was more than a little leery of what was going to happen when he came face to face with his brother again. In fact, maybe you didn't catch it, it says that Jacob divided his people into two camps. That was often done when you were afraid that you would be attacked, because if one camp was attacked, the other could get away. It was a defense against that. Jacob knew he was facing a difficult situation. This time, though, rather than doing his own thing, Jacob listened to the Lord. God had told him in a dream, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." Jacob was banking on that promise. He was trusting what God had said. He had set aside his own desires. And he was setting aside his fears and his worries, and he was hanging on to those words of the Lord for dear life, because that's the only thing that seemed solid to him anymore. He had seen the damage his own way had caused. Jacob was counting on God to keep his promises, and God did not let him down. Because God never goes back on his word. God led Esau to forgive his brother Jacob and to welcome him back with open arms. And God was faithful in keeping his promise to Jacob. Dear Christians, he is faithful to you and me too. He is faithful to us. He's not going to let us down. He's not about to leave us without food and clothing and daily bread. As the psalm writer once said, "I was young and now am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." God has faithfully cared for our physical needs, and He will continue to do that for us year after year after year. And He has cared for our spiritual needs too. His love in Jesus Christ is without measure and without end toward us. That's why we get to keep coming back here and receiving the bread of life, His word, every week, every day. The prophet Isaiah said it well, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." And that's really a wonderful word, that God has compassion on us. Unworthy though we are, He's showered us with every good and perfect gift for the sake of His Son. On this Thanksgiving Eve, we've taken a moment to humbly reflect on the gifts in our life. May our humble reflection tonight lead us to have a life of heartfelt thanks for God's kindness in the past and his faithfulness in the future. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.